This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us. This episode 26 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'd like to thank those who joined us this weekend for our marriage class. Walhamdulillah, it was very well attended. And alhamdulillah, we hope inshallah for those who have expressed desire to attend the marriage class but were not able to do so because of exams or end of year functions, and we hope to do another marriage class inshallah at Burhan al-Islam towards the mid-December or perhaps even in the new year. But please inform us if you're keen, if you're able to attend, which date you prefer, and inshallah we'll try to arrange something for you. Before I begin, a sister emailed me with regards to a mistake that I made. She mentioned in one of the episodes, I said that the Prophet ﷺ had been married to Aisha for 8 years, and then she continued to live another 60 years after his death, and then she passed away at the age of 66. This, of course, is an error. The Prophet ﷺ, after he passed away, Aisha radiallahu anha would live for another 46 years. So less than 50, 46 years she lived without the Prophet ﷺ, and they were married around 10 years, alhamdulillah. And we did say these dates are variable because there was no Islamic calendar at that time. We're not so sure about Aisha's age, as we're not sure about Abu Bakr's age. We're not sure when the Mi'raj happened. These dates, we have a broad understanding sort of within a year or two, give or take. And only once the Islamic calendar actually was instituted in the time of Sayyidina Umar were dates a lot more sure, the dates were a lot more accurate, alhamdulillah. So in our last episode, we concluded our discussion with our mother, Salama, Hind radiallahu anha. So now the Prophet sallallahu, it's good for us to go through and keep this list in our minds, and I encourage you that you keep this list. So we had Khadija initially, who was his wife, and then she passed away. Then we had Sauda, and she's still alive. We have Aisha, and she's still alive. We have Hafsa, and she's still alive. Then we had Zainab bin Khuzaimah, the mother of the poor, and she passed away. And then the Prophet ﷺ married Salama radiallahu anha. So now the Prophet, peace be upon him, has four wives: Sauda, Aisha, Hafsa, and Salama. And we know all their personalities, Sauda being very homely, Aisha being brilliant and smart and romantic and dramatic, Hafsa being educated and a little stubborn, Salama being serene, being regal, being very elegant, being diplomatic. We're getting to know their personalities and the kind of women they are. So now today, inshallah, we'll talk about the next wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, and that is going to be our mother, Zainab binti Jahsh. So we said the Prophet, peace be upon him, he married two Zainabs. And in fact, if you ever get a question, as I said, with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the women around him, and the question comes, you know, maybe you in Who Wants to Win a Million Riyals or something like that, and they ask you, name a name of a female that was in the life of the Prophet, just say Zainab, because he had two wives that were Zainab, he had a daughter that was Zainab, he had a granddaughter that was Zainab. So the Prophet really was fond of the name Zainab, and in fact he gave, our mother Zainab bint Jahsh, her name initially was Barra, which means the perfect one, the one that is free of any kind of imperfection. This is an appropriate name to have, and therefore he actually changed the name to Zainab. So it was a name that he was fond of. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, would marry our mother Zainab, and we'll talk about how come the Prophet ﷺ exceeded the limit of having four wives. This restriction, of course, was not there initially. Before Islam and as the Sharia was evolving, there were no limitations in terms of how many women men could marry. Men had many, many wives, and then they were actually limited to four. So we need to consider when this regulation came down. But without a doubt, the Prophet ﷺ exceeded that limit, and when he passed away, he had more than four wives. But this is a very controversial issue, and we'll discuss that in detail towards the end of the series, inshallah. So let's get to our mother, Zainab binti Jahsh. Before we talk about Zainab, her story is very much intertwined with a very famous companion which we mentioned before, and that is Zayd. So we have Zayd and Zainab, and these stories go together. So who was Zayd? We said Zayd radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha, this very, very famous companion. He was the adopted son of the Prophet, peace be upon him. We said that, you know, as a young boy, he was stolen from his, he was on a journey with his mom, and some bandits attacked them and stole him. So he was a little boy, stolen from his family. he was made into a slave and he was sold, and he found himself in Mecca. So the scared little boy in Mecca. And it was just about the time when Khadija and the Prophet ﷺ was getting married. And Khadija comes to the market and she wants to buy a wedding present for her new husband. And she sees this little boy and she takes a liking to him and she purchases Zayd as a slave. And then she comes to the Prophet ﷺ and she says, "Oh Muhammad, as a wedding gift, this boy will be for you. He will be your servant. He will help you and he will walk." So he was constantly around the Prophet ﷺ. And we know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, never kept slaves in the sense of using them as servants. Rather, he treated Zayd with the kind of treatment that a father or a big brother would treat a son. So Zayd grew up in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and he grew up in the household of the Nabi ﷺ. And this bond between the two of them was so deep and so loving that many years later, when Zayd was a young man, or maybe in his teens, Zayd's father actually comes and finds him in Mecca. And Zayd's father, who loved his son so much, think of it, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us, there's nothing worse than losing a child. Imagine as a parent, you've been looking for years for your long lost son, and here you find him. And so he comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and again we said the Prophet was not a Nabi, this was before Nubuwa. And the man says, "Look, this is my boy Zayd, name your price, O Muhammad, and I'll purchase him from you. Anything you want, I want my son back." So the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that look, Zayd is not here as my prisoner or as my slave, he's free. Zayd, you can go, you can, whatever you want to do, Zayd, is up to you. And Zayd says, "Please, don't let me leave. I don't know of any father other than you. I want to stay with you and I want to be with you, O Muhammad." Again, he wasn't a Nabi. So then the Prophet was so moved. He was so moved by this incident of Zayd that he took Zayd by the hand and he stood in front of all the people of Mecca and he said, "O Quraysh, I want you to bear witness that as of today, I have taken this boy as my son. He is my son. And his name from henceforward is not Zayd ibn Haritha, but he is Zayd, the son of Muhammad." And this was something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rectify. Before Islam, or before the laws of orphans, when you adopted an orphan, they became like your biological children. You would take the name of your adopted parents. And so therefore, many junior sahaba, they would say, "We never knew Zayd's real name. We only knew him as Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." That was his name. And his nickname was Hibbun Nabi, the beloved of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Zayd was very, very dear to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet receives Nubuwa, he becomes a Nabi, Zayd is of the very first people, maybe even before Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he embraced Islam, of the first four people after Khadija, Ali and Zayd and Abu Bakr, the four of them, very first four people to embrace Islam. So a very senior man. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that, listen to this amazing hadith, she says that whenever there was a campaign and Zayd was involved, he would be a leader in that campaign. He was made a general or he would be given a leadership position. And in fact, she says that if he was alive when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, because Zayd would pass away before the Nabi ﷺ, very, very tragic. But she said, if he was alive, he would have been the Khalifa. Now remember, Aisha's dad, Abu Bakr, becomes the Khalifa. And she says, if Zayd was alive, my dad wouldn't be the Khalifa, Zayd would have been the Khalifa. So this is an amazing, you know, point to mention of who this man, Zayd radiallahu anhu, was. And on top of all of that, he has an honor that not a single companion, not Abu Bakr, not Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, not Aisha, not Khadija, no companion has the honor that Zayd has. And what is that honor? That he is mentioned by name in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions his name in the Quran, and in the course of our discussion around Zainab and Zayd, we'll talk about how he's mentioned. So how does Zayd feature in the story of Zainab? So who is Zainab? Our mother Zainab radiallahu anha, she was about 25 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she was 30 years old at the Hijrah. She was a first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was a cousin of his, and she was described as being a perfect woman. In fact, her name Barra bear testament that she was regarded as almost the most sought after woman in Mecca. She's described as being perfect in terms of her appearance. She was tall, elegant, and she was beautiful. She was shapely. She was, you know, built lovely, and the men desired her. On top of all of that, she had a high lineage. On top of all that, she was extremely educated. She was a craftswoman, so she was good with her hands, and she actually had her own leather tanning business. She would make things with her hands, and she would sell this, and she became quite wealthy on this. She had a fiery personality. She was extremely independent. And even up until the age of 30, she had not married anybody. So this is quite strange that even in our day and age, if you're 30 and you're not married, it's sort of like, you know, you're getting on now in time. Why are you not married? In their context, she should have been married like 15 years already. So why was she not married? Because she never felt that anyone was good enough for her. One could say she had a little degree of vanity in terms of her attitude. Many men proposed to her. She said, none of you are good enough for me. I'm meant for a much better husband. Some scholars have even said, she secretly desired that the only man that was really suited for her would be the Prophet ﷺ himself. No man was good enough for her. So she was very independent, and she would speak her mind like many of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and she had a very dramatic side to her. Aisha radiallahu anha would tangle with her quite a bit, as we'd come to see, and she would say of Zainab that Zainab was a lady that would quickly have a temper. She had a temper and she'd become very angry, she'd sort of explode, but then she would calm down very quickly as well. She was very quick to forgive. She would say that the Prophet ﷺ, he was fond of her a lot, he loved her very much, he was very passionate with her because she was passionate, and she frustrated him a lot as well, which we'll come to know. On top of all of these things though, Zainab was a deeply religious woman, that she was a very, very charitable woman. The thing that really stands out about her, as we'll come to see, is she excelled above any woman of her time in terms of charity. She continued to operate this business, not to become wealthy, but to give it in terms of charity. She was a very loving person for the poor. And when Islam came on the scene, she immediately embraced Islam. She was of the very first companions to embrace Islam. She went through the persecution with her brother, and she immigrated to Medina. So now here we have this wonderful single woman that is known in the community for having all these wonderful qualities. She's not married. The Prophet ﷺ loves her as a cousin, he loves her as one of his ummatis, and he loves Zayd very much, his son. So he felt, look, this is a perfect match. And he suggested to Zayd, you should marry Zainab. And he tells Zainab, you should marry Zayd. I think the two of you would be a good match. And when the Prophet ﷺ suggests this, both of them are not very happy. Both of them are not too keen on this marriage. From Zainab's perspective, she felt that she was entitled to a much better husband than Zayd. Now, even though she understood and she knew Zayd was a great companion and he was a man that was very close to the Prophet ﷺ, she was still human. And from her perspective and from her natural instinct, she believed that he was not suitable for her. She felt that, look, ultimately he was a slave. He was a man that was a slave at one point in time. He was bought, he was sold. That he doesn't have a great lineage. She felt that as a husband, I can't respect him as I should, that this is not a good match. And she was therefore, she actually sent her brother to protest, to tell the Prophet ﷺ, look, Zainab is not interested in Zayd. Zayd also, with all of Zainab's qualities, and she's this sought-after woman, Zayd basically tells the Prophet ﷺ, I'm also not keen on marrying her, because I can see there's going to be problems. We're not on the same page. She's, you know, a well-to-do lady. I feel inferior in front of her. It shows you the Sahaba, they are human. The Sahaba are not angels, they're not perfect. And in terms of marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to choose your partner that you feel will bring the most happiness, that you feel is best for you. So Zayd is not really keen on Zainab. Zainab doesn't want to marry Zayd. And they both partition the Prophet ﷺ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually reveals verses in the Quran, which is quite strange. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never before would tell two people that you must get married, because marriage is something that you are allowed to choose. Yet Allah says these verses in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, verse 36. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. So Allah says, it is not befitting, it is not appropriate for a believing man or a believing woman that when Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم have decreed a matter, that they have any option or choice in that decision. And whoever disbelieves in Allah and His Messenger has indeed strayed into plain error. Subhanallah. Allah is saying that when He decides on something, and when the Prophet ﷺ decides on something, then we as Muslimin, we have no choice. If the Prophet ﷺ says to us, jump, we jump. If he says, go here, we go right, we go right. So if the Prophet ﷺ says to you, O Zainab, that the two of you should get married, khalas, you have no further decision. You don't have a choice. You have to obey. His word is law. Side note, today you find a group of people who call themselves Qur'aniyun. We are the followers of the Qur'an. And they will say, we'll follow the Qur'an because we obey Allah. But when it comes to the sunnah, when it comes to the laws or the commandments of the Prophet ﷺ, well, here, this is the opinion of Muhammad. We don't really have to follow him as such that we don't have to follow the hadith. We only follow the Quran. Well, the Quran tells you very explicitly in this ayah that when the Prophet ﷺ says something, it is as binding on you as if Allah himself had said it. If the Prophet ﷺ commands you or forbids you, then you have to obey. That you might find a law that is not in the Quran, but it is commanded by the Prophet ﷺ. For example, you will not find in the Quran that Maghrib is 3 rak'ahs. You will not find in the Quran that Tawaf is 7 rounds. The Prophet ﷺ taught you these things, and therefore we obey. Khalas, we cannot say, well, this is only his opinion, it's not Allah's decision. When the Prophet says something, Allah said it becomes law. And here is a classic example, the choice of choosing a spouse. The Prophet says the two of them should get married, so khalas, they need to get married. So, grudgingly, if we could say, you know, almost in protest, the two of them, they are believers, they submit, they obey Allah, and they obey His Rasul, so they get married. And this marriage is rocky from the start. Both people are not keen on marriage, both people are not happy, and as they enter the marriage, soon they find that there's lots of conflicts. Zainab and Zayd can't get along. There's constant fighting and arguing, and subhanAllah, these are the two greatest, I mean, of the best of men, the best of women, the most pious of people, people giving charity, people making jihad, people, you know, standing up with tahajjud. Yet when they're together, there's just no happiness between them, and there's, you know, constant fighting and arguing. There's no tenderness, there's no love. This shows you also that just because someone is, you know, the two people are good people, there could still be an element missing in terms of love. This is something different. So Zayd now continuously complains to the Prophet ﷺ, this lack of chemistry, this unhappiness that they find. Zainab constantly sort of belittling him, making him feel inferior. So he would complain to the Prophet ﷺ about Zainab. And every time that he would complain to the Prophet ﷺ, I don't want to be with her, I want to divorce her, the Prophet would command him and say, keep your wife. You keep her, you're not allowed to divorce her. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something which really bothered him or disturbed him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know by Allah's revelation that Zainab and Zayd would ultimately divorce one another and then he would marry her. So this is one of the most controversial areas in terms of the seerah, in terms of the understanding of this matter. In fact, of all his marriages, the Prophet's most controversial marriage would be this marriage to Zainab. In his lifetime, no one questioned that he married Aisha and she was young. Nobody questioned that he would marry Safiya and Juwayriya and they were prisoners of war. No one criticized him about this. But the marriage which he was criticized about in his lifetime was his marriage to Zainab. And in fact, from the ayah of the Quran, which we will come to know in our next episode, Aisha says that if ever the Prophet ﷺ were to hide or conceal a verse of the Quran, it would be this verse commanding him to marry Zainab, because it would be very, very taboo for him to marry her. Why is it taboo? Why is there an issue? Because to marry your son's ex-wife, your daughter-in-law, is incest. It's haram to do that. It's haram for a father to marry a woman that was with his son. And vice versa, a son cannot marry his stepmom if his dad passes away or his dad divorces her. So for the Prophet ﷺ to marry Zayd's ex-wife, it would appear that he's marrying his son's ex-wife. Of course, Zayd is not his son. Now, in the Arab context, they saw adopted children as biological children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to set a precedent with regards to orphans and adoption. So in our next episode, we'll come to know how Zayd and Zainab separated, what caused them to separate, and how it was that the Prophet ﷺ actually ended up marrying her, and what was it like for Zainab to be the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and to be around other wives with her very strong personality. There will be a lot of action between her and Aisha radiallahu anha. So in our next episode, we hope to see you then. For any questions and concerns, westmuhammad@gmail.com. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.